Section 2. The Debate Today. Jesus Christ is the standard appellation for the man who either founded or inspired the Christian religion. There were many men named Jesus back then. In fact, it was among the most common of names. The name is actually Joshua. Jesus is just a different way to spell it now. Adding Christ thus designates the particular Jesus who, one way or another, intentionally or not, got the whole movement called Christianity started, a religion that worshipped this Jesus as the Christ, which simply means anointed, the very thing meant by Messiah. Hence, the Jesus we're concerned with here is Jesus Christ as now understood. Many scholars believe that Christ is a name or label attached to Jesus after his death, beginning a pattern of increasing legendary development upon a humbler story of some real man named Jesus. But not all scholars agree. In fact, there is no identifiable consensus about who or what Jesus was, or when or why he acquired the moniker of Christ. And while all these scholars debate or even ignore one another in all of this, for over 100 years now, some scholars, and not just cranks, have argued there was no Jesus Christ in any real sense at all. They maintain the Christian religion began with the idea of a mythical man, not a historical one. The historical Jesus, on their account, was entirely a legendary development, eclipsing the original myth and leaving us with the mistaken impression that there must have been a real Jesus who was later known as Christ. For this book, I'll dub those who maintained there was a real Jesus of some relevant sort, historicists, and those who argue this Jesus was mythical, mythicists. Though there have been many valid criticisms of mythicists, many of the same objections apply to historicists as well, who have often made just as many mistakes of fact and method. And if we allow historicism to become respectable by limiting its claims to what can be reasonably proved, leaving aside all speculation and conjecture and error as simply that, nothing more, we should give mythicism the same opportunity. Yet in practice, there is no consensus even among historicists as to what is historical about Jesus and what not, and what is instead legendary or mythical or merely erroneous. Indeed, these unresolved disagreements extend to almost every significant question about Jesus. Nevertheless, most scholars agree some elements of the things said about Jesus aren't historically true, and many even conclude most are. Mythicists just continue going in the same direction other scholars have already been heading. But do they go too far? In Jesus Outside the New Testament, Robert Van Voorst lists 7 general counterarguments against mythicism. And this constitutes a typical summary of the case usually made against it. But that case is rather weak. Van Voorst says mythicists tend to overstate the strength of their arguments from silence. Yet, as I'll show in coming chapters, those arguments don't have to be overstated to be compelling. Van Voorst says mythicists tend to date all the Gospels unreasonably late, after 100 AD. Yet mythicism doesn't require this, and even mainstream scholars are starting to agree some of the Gospels might indeed be that late. Van Voorst says mythicists overstate the implications of the widely acknowledged mythic elements, legendary developments, and contradictions in the Gospels. Yet he acknowledges these elements exist, which can still support a mythicist theory without being overstated. Van Voorst says mythicists tend to be far too skeptical of the authenticity of the earliest non-biblical and even many biblical passages about Jesus. Yet mythicism does not require such excessive skepticism, and some of it is not excessive. Van Voorst also objects that mythicists often have an anti-Christian agenda, which is certainly true, but that is not relevant to the merit of their work. He further objects that no ancient critic of Christianity challenged the historical reality of Jesus. But that's not quite true, as even Van Voorst admits in a footnote, and as I'll show later, he misses yet more examples. And it's impertinent anyway, since we have no criticisms of Christianity of any sort until well into the 2nd century, far too late for such critics to know the real truth of the matter, especially if Christians themselves had forgotten or weren't telling. Hence, if the idea of a historical Jesus was already developing in the latter half of the 1st century, then Van Voorst's own objection to overstating an argument from silence turns against him. For we cannot argue from the silence of documents we don't have, and we don't have any 1st century documents from critics of Christianity. Hence, we cannot know what such critics were saying, because no one tells us. Some will claim that Matthew 28, verses 11 to 15, is the one exception, but that's still a Christian source that can't be usefully dated or traced to anyone who actually knew the facts of the matter, rather than was merely gainsaying a gospel they heard. Even if it was based on fact, and it is in fact a Christian fabrication. It only makes sense in the context of Matthew's unique story, which is obviously fictional, and is a response to Mark's story, which is probably just as fictional. And thus, it cannot actually be linked to any real critics of Christianity, much less critics who would be in any position to know there was no Jesus. Finally, Van Voorst says mythicists, quote, have failed to advance other credible hypotheses to account for the birth of Christianity and fashioning of a historical Christ, end quote. And as a result, quote, biblical scholars and classical historians now regard mythicism as effectively refuted, end quote. Yet that conclusion depends on the merits of his use of the word credible. Most mythicists, in fact, start by constructing hypotheses for the origin and development of Christianity, and then argue that the evidence fits their scenario better than any other. Whether these efforts are credible remains to be determined. For it is not demonstrated by anything Van Voorst argues, and whether it is demonstrated by anything anyone else argues, we can only begin to ask after reading the present book, or other more recent books, since Van Voorst wrote before he could examine the superior work of more recent mythicists such as Earl Doherty or Thomas Thompson or Thomas Brodie, and no one of Van Voorst's caliber has yet addressed their arguments properly either. Bart Ehrman, in Did Jesus Exist? The Historical Argument for Jesus of Nazareth, published in 2012, attempted to provide one, but that's essentially a careless and poorly researched popular market book and not a proper scholarly critique. You can review my demonstrations of this on my blog. A summary with links to my more detailed discussions is available in Richard Carrier, quote, Ehrman on the Historicity Recap, end quote, at Richard Carrier Blogs. Maurice Casey did the same thing, only worse, in Jesus, Evidence and Argument or Mythicist Myths, published in 2014. For a critical review of that, see Richard Carrier, quote, Critical Review of Maurice Casey's Defense of the Historicity of Jesus, end quote, at Richard Carrier Blogs. In other words, the case against mythicism, at least as represented by Van Voorst, for example, consists of arguing that there are flaws, mostly flaws of exaggeration, in the scholarship of mythicists, yet without demonstrating that any of those flaws are actually relevant. That scholars err does not automatically disqualify the rest of their work or their conclusions. And the fact that exaggerated premises are unwarranted does not entail that the same conclusion cannot be reached from more moderate premises instead. Thus, his every argument is a non sequitur. Only one of Van Voorst's arguments bears on the actual evidence rather than its abuse, and that argument isn't logically valid either, for his argument from silence stands refuted by his own reasoning. Yet that doesn't mean mythicism is vindicated. It's still a fallacy to declare a conclusion true merely because arguments against it are fallacious. Just because Van Voorst identifies no valid objection to mythicism does not mean mythicism has merit. After all, it might be possible to expand or qualify his objections into a successful refutation. And Van Voorst cites various scholars who have attempted this, and in many other respects, his section on this topic remains required reading. But that has to actually be done before anyone can claim it has been. And merely refuting one theory, such as Doherty's, won't suffice at that, any more than refuting a single conception of a historical Jesus is sufficient to refute all conceptions of a historical Jesus. Therefore, it's necessary to test a minimal theory of historicity, such that if even that theory isn't true, then none are. Against a minimal theory of myth, such that if that theory isn't true, then no other is likely to be. And this test must be logically valid and give the best possible opportunity to either theory before whatever conclusion we reached can be considered fair.